Good day, I'm Anne Dolinship, and you're listening to Coffee Conversations about Influence Marketing. In this episode, we chat with Rose Chewu, campaign coordinator at Webfluential. Rose is one of the many people behind the scenes that works really hard to ensure that your influencer campaigns run smoothly. There's some things you probably don't even know about or even think about. So grab a coffee and listen as we discuss all things behind the scenes of prepping and implementing influencer campaigns. The importance of that human touch and in-person relationships with influencers, in addition to great technology, and having opted-in databases of influencer bring brands and influencers that peace of mind.
If you enjoy this podcast, you will also enjoy our fortnightly newsletter that keeps you up to date with influencer news from around the world. Subscribe at the link in the show notes.
This podcast series has been made possible through an exclusive sponsorship from SA's number one nano influencer platform, The Salt. Most brands have a communication line to their existing customers, but not a way to get them to have additional positive brand conversations. The Salt solves the problem by identifying brand fans and getting them to talk more about their positive brand experiences. The Salt have a database of over 140,000 registered brand fans and in-depth information on each to perfectly match your brand to the right influencers. Reach out to them now and see what they can do for you.
Good morning, Rose. Thank you so much for joining us today. So Rose works at Webfluential. She's in the influencer marketing space as a campaign coordinator. So I think, Rose, before we get into our chat today, maybe tell us a bit more of how you actually became a campaign coordinator.
So I joined Webfluential in 2020 as a campaign collaborator coordinator, and it's just been such a great journey. And how I got into it, I've always been interested in the space, but you know, it's been actually such a great experience because I have learned everything that I know. I've been taught sort of working with influencers, working with brand, and just putting together campaigns. So that's really how I got into it, by just being exposed to the opportunity.
But in a nutshell, like, actually, what does your job entail? Like, what is your day-to-day like?
So my job entails, I onboard influencers onto our platform, the Webfluential platform, onboard them. And then when they are selected for a campaign, I will then book them in, assist with sort of if there's any shipping, send them any products, attend any photo shoots with them if necessary. Each campaign is kind of different. So yeah, so I'll onboard them. When they're selected for a campaign, I will book them in and brief them in, and then, you know, just kind of facilitate that relationship between them and the brand and obviously the content team.
So you're basically the go-to girl, you're the agent for the time being on the campaign, just making sure everyone's happy, everyone's doing what they're supposed to
be
doing.
Yeah, just making sure everybody is playing nicely with each other, really. Just, and that's what I think has been such a great part of the experience, is kind of the networking and working with people, because I've always enjoyed working with people and I feel like everybody can learn from each other.
That is fantastic, actually. And also a great skill to have,
it is,
right?
It comes in really, really handy. And that's when you start to really see and understand that client service or working with people is applicable in all aspects of life.
So I love asking this question to all my guests to come on here. Yeah? Before you actually started working in the industry, what was your perception of it? And then actually, what attracted you to it?
So, I mean, as I said, I think for me, it was just, I was a consumer of it more than anything. So, but not really understanding sort of what goes into it, you know, enjoying content, but now you enjoy content on a more deeper level, understanding the work that goes in, the time that goes in to get the campaign running, all the special favors you have to ask the influencers to actually get the content that you're consuming. So it was, yeah, you just consumed it differently and I enjoyed it differently. But now, like I said, I have a deeper love for it, understanding sort of the hard work that goes in from not just me, but as I said, the influencers, and also the work that brands put into their campaigns and the money, obviously, that they invest in us as, you know, coordinators, and then obviously into influencers. So, I mean, I enjoyed joining it. Like I said, I think my experience with client service or working with people, because I was in the TV industry, so I was working with talent, and I was, oh, it seems like, I hope I'm not destined to be a middle person for forever, because I was always, you know, talent, production houses, and, you know, and that kind of thing. And so it kind of, I was able to carry the skill across of sort of working with people, but also being able to teach and develop people.
I think you made a fantastic point. As consumers, when we don't work in the industry, we just see this amazing content. We really enjoy certain people and that's why we follow them. But we don't always see what goes on behind the scenes to actually get it on that platform, because I might consume it for the 20-second video that it is and get impacted and click through and know about a product and want to go buy it. But to get it to that point, there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes.
There is a whole lot. And that's why I said I have a deeper love for it and even respect for it, you know, from all the way to the top, from brands into the account managers, you know, to getting it across and then obviously to us collaborators, because it is sleepless nights constantly, but like you enjoy it, you know, it comes from a place of enjoyment because you really, as you said, is that it's fulfilling that 20 second will, you know, make someone happy or, you know, will deliver a brand's message across. So it's fulfilling at the end of the day, but it is definitely a lot of work.
I get you. As a strategist in this industry, for me, the most amazing thing is creating these strategies, seeing clients absolutely love it, and then handing it over to you guys and you make it happen. And for me to actually see it from going from your PowerPoint presentation to actually being live. It's like the best feeling.
Definitely. And that's why I said that it then becomes fulfilling. Then, you know, you're not too tired anymore.
Absolutely. So obviously most brands these days have influencer marketing as part of their strategies. But like we just said, a lot of people still just think it's as easy as just talking to an influencer and then there's the content and that kind of is it. So today we really want to talk about that process, that behind the scenes that we just touched on. So let's start at the beginning. And I'm assuming, as with everything in our industry, start with a good brief. But what does that mean? What goes into a good brief? What's the do's and don'ts for when brands actually brief us?
So I think the biggest thing for me as a collaborator that gets it from an operational way, you now actually have to execute. The brand needs to have a clear vision sort of the objectives of the campaign and a clear understanding of how influencer marketing is going to work for the campaign. Because I think it's important for a brand to understand that a billboard and influencer marketing are going to have a different sort of communication or impact on a person. So they need to understand who they want to talk to. And the brief will then tell, you know, who to select, how to execute, what kind of content goes into that. So a good brief is really just, if they are clear on those objectives, we're able to say, okay, video will work here, or you know, TikTok will work here or Twitter will work here. But when they are clear on that, we're able to then take it from there, because then they will then let us as the experts guide them.
So it really is a collaboration. Yeah. It's basically the brands coming to me saying, this is what I want to do. This is who I want to speak to. I put the strategy together with them. I'm like, listen, this will work super, super well. This maybe not. Let's rather go with different platforms for your age groups you want to go to. And then once the brief comes to you, you have all that information already, right?
Yes. And the clearer that it is, easier for me to communicate it to the influencer and also bring the influencer on board. Because remember, influencers get selected before we can even talk to them, right? So if X brand wants to, you know, collaborate with Rose, I still have to go and still sell it to Rose, right? It's not all influencers that will just do any campaign for any amount of money. But it's very important to have all of that worked out, so that when I am speaking to the influencer, I'm able to, you know, make them keen and even interested and even excited to be a part of the brand, because influencers now are investing quite a lot in their work, that it's more than just content creation, right? And it's more than just posing for pictures, and, you know, they want to be part of the brand, and a lot of them work with brands with the hopes of relationships. So it's very important to also come at it from that direction as well.
I think that's an incredibly important point. Even though a brand really wants to work with a certain influencer, it doesn't mean that influencer wants to work with them.
Yep. And
I don't think we often think about that.
No, we don't. And also, like when I was talking about the brand will have a more enjoyable experience if they do let the experts guide them, because sometimes they have an idea of who they want to use in the campaigns. But we on the other side would know who would work best, you know, and there are definitely instances when, you know, the brand says, you know, we really need Anne to be part of the campaign, but, you know, you can add two more people. And we still can say, look, we know you love Anne, but, you know, she's not necessarily aligned with this. We know it's not about numbers anymore, or maybe she's not engaging enough, or, you know, there's something else, or she's working with a different brand. So it's very important that they allow the experts to also kind of guide them, but then also for the experts to kind of understand and assist the brand in kind of teaching them and helping them along to also bring their idea, because it's still their idea and we have to help them execute their vision.
I love that. And you're so right. And like you say, sometimes the influencer they really want just don't align with what they want to do. But if you understand why they want that person, you could probably find someone who would work super, super well that still ticks all the boxes. So Rose, speaking about influencers, how do you actually go about finding those influencers to match them to those campaigns and those brands?
So it really is, we're grateful to have the technology for it, because you can imagine it would be a super manual process to try and search hashtag lifestyle influencer. There are a billion people.
I was just going to say, the whole world will come up.
and you know, so we're grateful and we're fortunate to have, you know, some of the best technology that does assist with that. So it really is, it's not too much of a manual process, but it really is in there. If you want to make sure that the brand's vision is going to be executed in the best way possible, then you will put in the hours and you'll go in and you'll search. And our biggest thing, or my biggest thing, has been relationships. So to develop the relationships, and I think from when I started with Befluential, my biggest thing was to put a face to it, you know, to kind of make, to build a friendship, really. You really want to be someone that people can trust and someone that people can, you know, work with and even refer you to other people. So relationships have been kind of my go-to for a very long time, because you know that influencers will then put out the best work because they trust you and because you've been referred to by the best and all of that. So relationships are quite big, but yeah, you need to match influencers in such a way that people that are understanding and that actually respect brands and respect the work that they do, and also influencers that do content creation because they love it and not for money, because then you'll find that those people will really even go the extra mile for influencers. So it is all about relationships and finding the right kind of personality more than it is about finding the right kind of content or aesthetic.
But the tech obviously helps you a lot. Talk to me about the tech and how that helps you actually identify these influencers.
So the tech is really amazing. It's from being able to filter by country, because I mean, we've ran campaigns not only just in South Africa, but sort of all over, to be able to, you know, search by country, by age, by style, by all kinds of things, by categories. You know, you're able to search business woman and entrepreneur and all of that stuff. So it really, really comes in very, very handy, and you'll be surprised at the things that people put in their bio, which turned out to be very, very helpful. You know, so the tech is actually quite a big part of it. And I mean, without the tech, we are very lost. But again, it is very important for the tech to also have a face and someone that they can trust and they can hold accountable, because at the end of the day, when an influencer is struggling, they don't contact us on the site. They call Rose and they're like, hey Rose, did you know your website is down and all of that? But not that our website goes down. But we don't go down. But a face to the tech is very helpful. But yeah, some of the best stuff to be able to filter and house, we've got a ton on there, thousands and thousands of influencers, as I said, not just in South Africa, but sort of all over, and we're able to find them pretty easy, you know, and store the information, and they're able to update their profiles and have controls of their profiles. And also, you know, it also makes for a better experience for clients to be able to send them a professional list as opposed to, you know, an Excel with like 1,000 columns of who should be best and who they should select. So it definitely does make for a better experience. And even for them, they know that their rates are updated. So they know, we know how much they're charging. And if they're not aligned, we're not going to have, you know, the constant back and forth of misaligning or mismatching.
No, absolutely. And I think the big thing with this kind of tech that Webflential has is like it's got an opted-in base. Like you were saying, you've got thousands and thousands of influencers on there that's already sorted into categories. Their rates have been identified. Also, they are part of the Webflential family. So when someone from Webflential Rose contacts them, it's not someone out the blue. It's not a stranger. They don't know if they can trust them. It's literally like, oh, I know Webflential. I'm part of the team. I don't need to worry whether they're dodgy, whether I'm getting paid, who they're working with. So that also plays a big part.
And that speaks a lot into the relationship of it, you know, building trust with not just, again, not just influencers, but also with brands where you are a trusted source. You're not just a platform and you're not just a click, but you really are a click away. It still must feel sort of personalized. We don't want to feel like robots to people. We want people to be able to be. The number of times that my number has been shared is a little bit undesirable, but you know, but it sometimes is also very fulfilling to understand, to know that people are trusting us enough to refer their friends and to have us help and teach and develop them and ask for advice and all of that. So it is very fulfilling because, and that just speaks into, you know, though they've opted in, we care for them, you know, and we want them to be safe as well and to also get as many opportunities as they can.
And I think there's a flip side to that as well. You nurture those relationships. When a brand works with Webflential, they know that we've got the quality of influencers that they need and that they are going to deliver good work, just purely also because of that relationship.
Yes, definitely. It makes for a much smoother and more valuable customer experience for the brands that helps them to come back because they know that they're not just getting a list and just click and then that's it. There's the extra mile and the extra hours and WhatsApp groups after WhatsApp groups.
Hashtag no filter. That's how this podcast is delivering real down-to-earth stories told by real people. For an influencer campaign that takes brand conversation to everyday real-life situations, go check out thesalt.co.za. They are the undisputed experts in real influencer marketing.
All forms part to make them feel safe. You know, I think for a very long time, I think brands we've been just so disjointed from us as collaborators into account managers, not understanding each other, but to now get to a place where we're all coexisting and we all have one goal in mind. And then we bring the influencer in to help us execute the goal.
Absolutely. And they do. They become part of the marketing team for as long as that campaign is, right? So we have to treat them.
Definitely.
Accordingly.
Yeah. And it also teaches them as well that you're not just coming into here as a person who's just going to post a picture for us. You're coming in as part of our team. You are going to execute this vision that we've had from any strategist all the way to Rose the collaborator. But now we're bringing you in to put all of that and put it out there.
We're the coaches. You need to get on the field.
Perfect. That's perfect.
So now you've got your list of influencers, your client is super happy with them. They are now signed off. They want these influencers on the campaign. And like we said earlier, we might have the perfect influencers for you. We put you on the list. We know that you're not working on competing brands. We know you can do an amazing job. Ooh, now what? Now I actually need to get these influencers on this campaign. So what are those next steps that you go into?
So, I mean, once sign-off happens, there's still a little bit way to go. And I think because you would have had the conversation with brand and everybody would be aligned on things like timelines, this is where a big part has been in teaching the brands about like sort of turnaround times and managing expectations that before content creation was just taking a picture with your phone. But today, content creation is a videographer, photographer, makeup artist, a hair person, a driver, a this or that, a drone. There's all kinds of things that are involved in there. So there's quite a bit after that. But once we sign them off, they come to me nice and safe. I introduce to them, if it's the first time that they're working with us, you know, introduce them to Webflential, how it works, explain even payment processes and who to contact, how it's going to work and how everything is going to sort of unfold. We sign them on. Or rather, we book them into the campaign by explaining to them briefly what the campaign is going to be about, get interest from them. And then once they're booked in, then we hand them over to our content coordinators. So it comes back to that ecosystem or family element of it. And then the content coordinators then take over, send them a more detailed brief, again, also explaining to them how to submit content, how to record content, when all of that is due. So it's quite some time that that passes in that time before we get to content creation part, because of also understanding that some influencers work full-time, some are full-time moms. And then obviously those that are actually influencers full-time, it doesn't necessarily mean that that person is just sitting there waiting for Rose to come through, you know. Yeah. No. So there's quite a lot of time, but we've got to a place where we're able to manage that quite well for clients as well, keeping clients up to date, managing those expectations that it takes about 2 days for the influencer to respond. And if they haven't responded by then, around the third day, we will then offer you a replacement option, because again, going back to the advantage of having such an amazing tech is that we house so many people, and because we have very similar influencers or content creators that are available on there. And so there's that whole process, and you know, you get things like addresses if you need to send the influencers any sort of product that they will need for the campaign. So there's quite a lot of time that goes into there, but we've gotten to a place where we've managed it quite smoothly, and the client knows ahead of time that it takes about, I don't want to say 7 days, child, but it takes, you know, a couple of days from booking the influencer in to briefing the influencer in. And then you also need to give them some time to create content. What we like to do is, like, we like to give our content creators the weekend to create content. So we try to have everybody briefed in by like a Thursday and have everybody submit the content that Sunday. And that gives sort of the majority of the group, if it's like 10 influencers or so, it gives about 8 of them or 7 of them to at least have it done by then. Then you have those two few that, you know, needed an extra day because of traveling or anything like that. So there's quite a bit that happens in there, but we've managed to make it a smooth enough process. And yeah, it's quite enjoyable. It's very, very time consuming, but very fulfilling again, as we said.
What I do love is that there are all these steps put in place and groups and people to really help not only the influencer but the brand to like get to that common goal. Yes. What you're saying, to your point earlier, you brief them in, there's another team that comes in that actually makes sure, gives them tips and tricks and tell them this is how we want to shot, here's a mood board, this is what the yes. vision is, and then obviously hand it over. So because we know our influencers need their creative yes. freedom as well to play within that boundaries to make it amazing. And I think holding their hand like that also gives the brand quite a sense yes. of ease that it's going to come out the way they want it. And if not, you know what, we can tweak. But generally, that content's going to
yeah,
be
yeah, generally the content comes out well because of the briefing process being so, so intricate and down to the final detail. You know, before the brief is even sent out to influencers, the brand would have approved it. And, you know, we said, this is what these are the examples we're going to send to them. So everybody always is kind of aligned. And even with the reverts, you know, then you don't have too many reverts. And some brands, we even offer the advice to say, we advise for influencers to submit for perhaps a script before they record the video, which then, you know, kind of lessens that whole process. It's just reading a script. If it's approved, by the time they record the video, you know that everybody's aligned, that they're going to say the right thing and the captions are correct and all of that stuff. But as you said, again, still allowing the influencer to kind of be authentic in their content creation, because the brand needs that for the campaign and the content to be relatable.
I mean, that's why we use the influencers and not just create exactly. ads, right? That's the whole point.
Exactly.
Of it.
And it's very, very important, again, you know, in teaching brands about being careful about trying to brief influencers to create ads. That's probably the quickest yeah. way to lose an influencer. You know, if you ask them to stand at the corner and say this, or go, no, you know, you just say, because they're creatives. And again, you know, when you say to them, when you give them sort of a brief and just say, this is what we want to get across, you know, this is the message we want to get across, and you let them sort of shine. As you said, we've given them the tips and tricks and say, you know, as long as you don't do this, you can do this and all of that. And client also then starts to understand that if you really want to speak to people, you have to relate to them.
Absolutely. And influencers know their audiences far better than we do. They know what resonates. 100%. They know what works. Give them the parameters, but then let them do their thing. And the nice thing is we will send clients the actual content to approve. So there's no surprises that's popping up in your feeds. You can still say, no, I don't want that.
Yes, within reason, obviously, you know, because it goes back to explaining to them, saying, okay, I know you really want Rose to speak English, but in all of Rose's content, you know, she speaks Sepedi. So if she starts to speak English, all her followers,
it's gonna what's be going weird. On?
So it does go back to that. But then that's why it comes back to that coexisting where everybody's kind of working together to just, as long as the 100%. Goal is achieved.
And also feel like we're the experts for a reason. We're supposed to consult. If we see something that's not going to work, or to your point, why would you want both to speak English? No one's going to actually pay attention to
and
her.
And then you would have wasted a whole lot of time, you know, forcing that one piece of content that could have been probably your best piece of content because it was so true to self.
Exactly. So we've got the content, our creators on board, they've created it, it's approved. Our beautiful campaign goes live. So now what? Do we just go like, great job, content creators, let your feedback fly. Go for it. Do you actually still keep in touch? Do you still guide them at that point? What's happening while the campaign is actually going on?
So again, speaking to relationships, influencers also, I find obviously the most of them that are, you know, very teachable and love to get feedback and input, a lot of them will keep in touch and say, how did I do? What do you think I can do better? Did the brand like it? Is there anything else I can do? And are there any other campaigns? I mean, obviously, a lot of them keep up to try and still get more opportunities to work. So I believe very much in keeping in touch with them because, again, the relationships I know that I will need for another campaign and be able to put people forward and teach them and kind of grow them, help them grow their brand. So we keep in touch for quite a long time, I guess, kind of making sure that they still feel like that they're family. So even after that, you know, maybe brand also still wants to send them something afterwards if initially they didn't. So there's still, the communication is still kind of open. A relationship really, really helps for those kind of things because if you can imagine if you made a person not feel that comfortable, how would you go back and ask for a screenshot and be able to get it, you know, in the blink of an eye because, you know, they trust you now. So now you become their friend. You're like, hey, friend, can you please send me the screenshot from the story yesterday? And they just send, hey, Miss Rose, send the screenshot. And then, you know, we just kind of do it. Hey, friend, I need a favor. So, and then they, you know, so the relationships are actually quite a very, very big aspect of it. So we definitely keep in touch with them after the campaign, about the campaign and, you know, if they want any feedback or if they want to use the content for themselves or whatever, if they need anything like that, if they want to update their profiles and all of that.
And then reporting. Reporting is so important. I mean, from where I start, we put KPIs in those strategies that we all sign off on. So how important is that campaign reporting at the end of the day? Because, I mean, content is more than just content.
No, the reporting is absolutely crucial. We are fortunate to offer some of the most valuable information from our reporting because of our amazing tech. And it's not all techs that are out there that can bring back some of the information that we get. And even in our initial onboarding and influencer selections, we have some of the best tech. So the reporting is actually very crucial, you know, and will actually tell if the brand has had a good enough experience to come back and more than that, to actually consider influencer marketing as an actual strategy, you know, because remember before the pandemic, I guess a lot of brands, some of them weren't, influencer marketing wasn't its own. And so it speaks to that. So the reporting is actually very crucial. So our reporting is some of the best. But yes, very, very valuable information that speaks to that and that can teach the brand and teach us. And, you know, even us as agency or as collaborators, we learn from the reportings of what we could have done better, how we could have, you know, how we can improve for client and what we can do for the next campaign, you know, when they come back to do work with us.
No, absolutely. I think sometimes brands think it stops when that campaign is over, but that reporting is so crucial to look at, did we reach all our KPIs? If we didn't, yes, why? What happened, like you say, and get those insights. And if we shut the lights out, also, why did we shoot the lights out? What was the thing that worked so incredibly well that we want to carry over into our next campaign? Because obviously your consumers love this. So let's continue.
Well, and you know, the consumers love it, and even the influencers, because some influencers, when you onboard them, they don't think they're going to have a spectacular time. They, you know, some of them take it on as work, but the experience from either, you know, the communication from the brand team or the content coordinators or the collaborators even become such an amazing experience that even part of the report could be, this influencer loved it so much that we had an influencer on one of our other campaigns who loved, from just being influenced, actually went and bought a car, his own car to buy the car that we ran a campaign on because of just that. Exactly. So
that's crazy. Okay. It's a car. It's a
whole car. He changed his whole entire lifestyle and just went and bought an SUV just because of the influence from the campaign that we ran. So now we can go back to the brand and say, I don't know if you thought we did well in that campaign, but how about this? This influencer's friend went and bought the actual car just purely from just seeing and just understanding and just growing to love just the campaign and then eventually falling in love with the brand. So reporting is key.
That's amazing. I love the influencer got it as well, right? At the same time.
Exactly.
So Rosie, my very last question for you today is, obviously, you've been in the industry for quite a while. You've seen everything. You've experienced everything. What are still some of the biggest mistakes that you see brands make in influence marketing?
Some of the mistakes that I see, I think one is the influencer selection style. I think some brands are really falling in love with influencers because of perhaps who they are, or they see an astronomical number of followers, or that person was trending. They miss out on the opportunity to get an even better profile of influencer that can even add even more value to their campaigns just based on their level and respect for content creation. Not that not all influencers don't respect the content creation process, but there are really people who are putting even way more of an effort. And us as the experts have been fortunate enough to be exposed to these kind of profiles, and we continuously try to guide the brand to say, okay, I know you said you want Annie because, you know, you think she's got this many followers in this, but here's where you actually want to play, you know. And then speak again to reporting, for example, to say in our previous campaign, these are the numbers that she reached, you know, and this is actually the outcome of it, the influence of it, and this is the value that they got versus what to just get one picture. Some people do pictures and stories and that. So the profile selection sometimes I find is a little bit misguided at times because of them thinking that just because this person was trending that they're going to achieve those numbers or they're going to hit all the numbers or the goals for the campaign. So it starts off there. And then sometimes it's kind of boxing influencers in. We spoke about it briefly in wanting influencers to create ads kind of, and that's not really the style of it. And it's important for brands to continue to be comfortable enough to let the experts kind of guide them in that selection and even in the brief to say, okay, I know you, this is how you want to do it, but to get a message across, authenticity is key. You know, we need people to post to their followers how they would normally post. You don't want them to just all of a sudden speak. Like if I posted today and I was speaking really like hectic terminology, people would look at me weird because, you know, it's not speaking to them the way I normally speak to. So assisting brands with pro, I really believe that it begins there, because once we help them with the profile selection, we make them understand sort of what goes into influencer selection. I believe that they even get more creative with the brand campaigns, because now when they see the profiles in front, they see what people are doing and what influencers are actually doing and what actually works. Then now they're actually even more inspired to create an even better brief, you know, and to build an even better campaign. So I do believe that there's much bigger room for brands to continue to trust experts. But I also, in the same breath can say, you know, that experts must rather guide and help the brand to kind of execute the idea, as opposed to, we don't want to bulldoze the ideas just because we're the experts, but to really just help them and help them in their best way. So kind of just meet each other halfway.
I agree. If you've got the right person with the right idea, with the right guidance, that should be an unstoppable campaign. Well, also implementation is very important to be able to implement it properly.
Definitely.
Rose, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate you imparting your wisdom on us and telling everyone more about behind the scenes. I hope everyone understands it a bit more and realize that it's not just briefing someone and then let it go.
Thank you so much for having me. I think it's very important that we continue to teach each other as we learn.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Rose. Thank you, Annie.
You too.
Bye.
This podcast series has been made possible by The Salt, the influencer company that turns influence into affluence. In the same way that information is presented in this podcast in a relatable and authentic way, The Salt gets your customers to tell their real brand stories to their community. Go to thesalt.co.za to learn more about how The Salt can help you grow your business.